Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome to the show. It's me, Matt Slick. Listen to Matt Slick Live. It is, March 24th, 2020. Hope you're all having a good day. And why don't you give me a call? We have five open lines, 877-207-2276. And we can talk about whatever you want to talk about. We can talk about the coronavirus, if you want. I'm working on an article. Actually, I think I released an article today, is the coronavirus from plague from God, and talked about that. And working on something else related to that kind of stuff, because what's the church's responsibility during the time of the coronavirus and things like that? Well, that caused me to write an article today on, well, what are the duties and responsibilities of the church as a whole? And then I'm going to use the coronavirus article and relate to that a little bit. So anyway, if that sounds interesting, if you want to check them out, you can go to the CARM website, carm.org. And there you go on that. Just want to give you a reminder that if you're stuck at home for some strange reason, you have a lot of extra time, all you got to do is go to carm.org if you want. On the homepage, you can check it out. And there are the schools that you can sign up for if you want. We've reduced the price because people are having a hard time getting around and doing stuff. And so we've decided to help out what we can a little bit. And so those schools were selling them for $50, which is a huge discount. And if all three schools, it is. But if you can't afford them and you want them, all you got to do is email us and say you can't afford it, you want them, we give them to you. So it's not that we're in here to make money. We do want to keep the lights on, and we use them to keep the lights on and things like that. But, hey, we want to build up the body of Christ, and that's what we want to do. So that is what is more important. All right, so we have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Chuck from Greensboro. Hey, Chuck, welcome. You're on the air.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My question is on Revelation chapter 2, verse 20. You've used the phrase before, semantic domain, and I'm wondering what the words in there, sexual immorality, mean when Jesus uses them in this case.
The immorality, the word is from porneo. And so let me do a little bit of a look at it. And it says, from pornos, which is a masculine form of the word, and it means male prostitute, to commit fornication, to play the harlot. So in there, it is, So just look at the Greek. So it's to commit acts of immorality. So it's from the verb pornesai. From porneuo. Oh, that's a hard one to pronounce. Porneuo. And so that's the verb form, to play the harlot, to do that kind of stuff. So that's what it means. And I can even tell you how many times it occurred in the New Testament if you want. So
Would this take in homosexuality? That's a straightforward question.
Probably, yes, because it would take in the whole gambit of that. In 1 Corinthians 6:18, the word is used there, and it says flee immorality, but that's a different word. Every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body, and that's the word from pornuo. And it's used eight times, and so 1 Corinthians 10:8. Let's not act immorality as some did, and 23,000 fell in one day. And Revelation 2:14, and also 2:20, sacrifice to idols, commit acts of immorality. There were also temple prostitutes connected to that kind of stuff. Committed acts of immorality, those dwell on the earth, drunkenness, and I'm just looking. Committed acts of immorality with her. Revelation 18:3. It's used for all the nations have drunk of the wine of the passion of her immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed acts of immorality with her. So it's probably dealing with idolatry, and then the kings of the earth who committed acts of immorality lived sensuously with her. So that's the issue of Babylon. So it has looks like it has physical as well as spiritual connotations to it.
Yeah, in talking to a couple of pastors, they have tried to say that homosexuality is okay, and that they think things change in the New Testament. I tell them they're not reading the same book I am, and Jesus spoke about it in Revelation, and I want to make sure I was correct before I used that argument.
Well, it doesn't say homosexuality so in those verses, but let me show you where it speaks of this in 1 Corinthians 6:9. Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, that's pornos, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor the effeminate, nor homosexuals. And the Greek word there for homosexuals are arsenikoitas, or arsenikoites, actually. So you can see, let's see, get into that. Let me do this. Come on, here we go. It's my computer program. It's really good, as long as I don't mistype something. So, the word occurs, let's see how many times in the New Testament where it occurs. So, it's 7:33, and it occurs two times. So, in 1 Corinthians 6:9, and also 1 Timothy 1:10, and immoral men and homosexuals and kidnappers and liars and perjurers are synecdoches. And so it comes from... It means a man who lies in bed with another male. And that's what it's talking about
right there.
So, it's definitely condemned. And you can also go to Romans 1:26. I don't know if you're familiar with that. And
yes, I do. Yeah, 26 through 30. I think it's 32.
Right. And 27 is the critical verse. And you ask them, because it says, let me read it for the people who don't know. For this reason, God gave them over to degrading passions. For their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. Verse 27. And in the same way also, the men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desire toward one another, men committing indecent acts, etc.
Right.
So the natural... literally was 2 nights ago, I was talking to some atheists about this, and there's a really knowledgeable atheist who knew a lot of stuff, and we were talking about this particular verse, and he wanted to say that it was the natural function. He said the homosexual acts were normal in that society. It was the unnatural attraction where you weren't attracted to somebody. That's what wasn't natural, and they were forced to make do it. It was really convoluted. So I asked him, I said, what's the natural function of the man with a woman? And he actually said the physical act. And I said, okay, well then this condemns homosexuality right there, and it does. So...
quite straightforward. Yeah, I began this exchange with the minister on Leviticus chapter 20, verse 13, and he jumped back to Leviticus 18, and he said, no, what God was doing was saying that he didn't want those acts, the religious acts like the temple prostitutes, male prostitutes, etc., used, and things like that that were used by the idolatrous nations before. And I told him, read Leviticus 18, 1, 2, and 3, verse 24, and then in Leviticus 19:2, it's very clear. God saying, I don't want the things that they did in Egypt or in the lands that I'm about to give you. And then he listed all those things. But, so he's thinking about it. So I just want some more ammunition to get, I'm trying to get him to think straight.
Well, on CARM, believe it or not, I've written a whole bunch on homosexuality. And so if you go there and just type in, let's see, homosexual.
I'm sorry, I can't. I'm legally blind.
Oh, okay. Sorry about that.
So I write, but I do, you know, one letter at a time. When I get a whole word, I'm happy. You know?
Okay. Yeah, actually, I've written a whole section on it, and I don't know how many articles there are, but there's a bunch. Maybe 40, 50, 60, I don't know. But, so I don't know if you have a reader, you know, that can read the text, you can find the articles you want. But I've got articles on Leviticus 18:22, and Old Testament law.
The Testament goes with 2013.
And do I have anything on 2013? No, I don't. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
That's the same. That's the same as 18:22.
Yeah, and I have Leviticus 18. Oh, I got a typo in there. Leviticus 18:22 and 2013. So
right.
There's a what I could do. Yeah, that's another thing I got to do. Anyway, is if this pastor, I'm going to tell you, if this pastor will not repent of this false teaching, and you work with him for a while, and you're trying to get him to understand, and I would say go to Romans chapter 1, verses 26, 27, and ask him what's the natural function. That's critical. And see what he says. If he refuses to repent of this great sin of promoting that which is horrible and immoral, then at that point I would tell him that he's a false convert and that he needs to know what the real gospel is and needs to get saved because judgment's coming upon him. So,
okay, thank you very much.
That's what I would do if at the end of all of this he would not repent of his false teaching. Okay.
Well, I gave him some more reading, something I wrote called Liberal Christianity. That's an oxymoron.
Yeah.
And something about...
Yeah.
And I asked him to read that because at the end it says if you can't talk to the pastor, if you can't convince him, then work on getting him removed.
That's right.
So
that's what
I think I've laid down the gauntlet for him.
Yeah. And,
okay, thank you very much for your time and your help.
All right, man. God bless, Chuck. All right. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We have four open lines. So where did that come from? Please feel free. I guess he's comboed my words up there. Please feel free to give me a call, and we can blab. All right, we got four open lines, 877-207-2276. Kyle, from Richmond, Virginia. Welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. I was calling back. It was your last caller Friday. Mm-hmm. And I had a question for you regarding your opinion in fetal cells used in vaccines and how that relates to Christianity.
Well, let's just start from one end and work towards the other. If in any way, shape, or form the aborted individual is used to benefit someone else in this thing, that would be something that Christians could not support. To kill a life in the womb, which is defenseless, which has done nothing wrong, and merely loses value because the mother deems it inconvenient or doesn't desire it, and that's where it obtains value by her whim. If this kind of a thing is where the cells come from, we can have nothing to do with it. Period. It was not,
absolutely.
I would never want that. Okay. Now,
I agree. In a lot of places, these are mandated.
Yes. And it's a problem. Now, there are different kinds of fetal cell ranges. One of them deals with the stuff that's inside the umbilical cord. I've heard some that deals with in the amniotic fluid. In that case, I don't have any problem with it personally. Now we have a question.
Yeah,
go ahead.
Oh, I was saying the ones I was referring to are specifically the MMR vaccine, which is for measles. I believe it's got either WI-38 or MRC-5. It's one of the two, and what it is it's lung fibroblasts from 14-week-old aborted fetuses that they have. They
don't.
You know,
can't
they
do it.
You know, they use
can't
themselves.
Hold on, we got a break. So hold on there, okay? We're going to continue to talk about this.
Yep.
Folks, we've got a break coming up here, and we have four open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, buddy. Welcome back to the show. Kyle from Richmond, Virginia. Are you still there?
Yes, sir.
All right. So, we had that break. We as Christians, must understand that human life occurs at inception. At conception. Now, life continues, but it has all the information necessary, and its nature and its essence are human. So we can't justify using humans as guinea pigs for research, lest we become Nazis, and use it for research in order to help other people who are more powerful. And we don't want to do that. And so we got to be very, very careful about this kind of a thing.
Yes, sir. And now, I guess a follow-up question would be, I guess folks who are unknowingly receiving these vaccines, which are a lot of people, you know, a lot of people give me flack just for questioning it, but a lot of people receive these vaccines and administer them to their children without knowing that these cell lines are in there.
Right.
Are they in a state of sin? Have they committed sin because they've received it? Or, you know, how does that work as far as, you know, what the Bible says?
That's an interesting topic, because we have to get to the broader area of sins committed in ignorance. And sins committed in ignorance are still sins. They're just committed in ignorance. So if I were to do something that was morally wrong but didn't know it was, I'm not excused from the immorality of it. God is a standard, not us. So we have to be as cognizant as we can as Christians, and seek to do as live our lives as best we can according to Christian principles. This is becoming even more difficult as the years progress. For example, Google supports a lot of liberal causes. The news media, which is leftist, liberal, wacko, we watch some of what they say. You know, car manufacturers that we drive, the cars that we drive cars made by certain companies that support homosexuality. You know, I remember a few years ago, Home Depot came out in support of homosexuality. You know, what do you do? So we could almost get to the point where the only way we could live without violating some principle is to live in a forest on off the grid, you know, with a running stream. And you know, what are we going to do? So this is a very difficult thing to work through. So I don't say that ignorance is just bliss, but we need to be cognizant. So for example, when my wife and I got married and I was still in college, I was going to go to seminary, we decided to postpone having children till after I graduated, and we did, and we had children. And so the methodology that we used, my wife did excessive research on to make sure there were no procedures or preventatives that would in any way be abortive. And she was awesome for that. And so we took care of that in that sense, you know. So she did her due diligence, and we need to be responsible as we can. And then we move forward the best we can.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, hey, I greatly appreciate you taking my question, and you're great. I'm a big fan.
Well, I don't know about being great, and my wife and I were talking about this yesterday. We took a little drive and or did something. I forgot. Anyway, we're talking about that, and people, you know, they like me on the radio, and I was telling her, I said to one of the ladies yesterday, well, that's great until you get to know me. Then that ends, and you know. And all I can say is, it's by the grace of God that only by His grace that can any answers that are any good come out. It's only by His grace. So He deserves the glory.
You're very quick-witted. You're straight to the point. You're factual, and you're not scared to take on any topic. And that's what I like and respect about you, Matt.
Well, praise God. You know, thank you, and just praise God for that, because He's the one.
Absolutely.
He's the one who put that in my heart. I was a, let's just say, a fornicating, pornographing, foul-mouthed person until God saved me, changed me.
Well, so well, how about that?
And it was really bad. And I was involved in the occult in the same time. So I'll just tell you, nothing but God's grace, and that's all it
now
is.
Tell you what. You're shining light on a whole other side of the coin I never even thought might have existed. So, yes, sir.
Oh, yeah. We'll talk about this a little bit, but I've seen, in my seance stuff, I've seen a blue ball of light with a witness. We both saw the same thing. Blue ball of light develop and grow into the shape of a man that then turned to face us and disappeared, and I saw a yellow cross materialize and move across the room. I've heard my name being called from the ceiling. I've seen lights move. Other things have happened. We've kind of had a history in our family, and I could tell some other stories that are bizarre. They're just bizarre that I talk about when I do stuff about things before I was even born and things that happened when I was born. But I was involved with all kinds of stuff. And then I just got saved. And night and day difference. So all I can say is God receives all the glory. And even when, after salvation, we so often, unfortunately, tend to wander and struggle, even then, God's grace was just immense. So he receives all the glory. Amen. All right?
Yes, sir.
Okay, buddy.
Hey, I appreciate you. Thank you, Matt.
Amen. God bless. All right, that was Kyle from Richmond, Virginia. And if you want to give me a call, we have three open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Scott from Salem, Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Welcome. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right, man. Doing all right. What do you got?
I'm looking at a verse in 1 Corinthians 7, 14 in the King James Bible.
All right. Okay, I'll look at it in the King James and, with you.
Okay, it says, verse 14, says, but the chapter is about marriage, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now they are holy. And so... Right. I can't get anybody to agree with me, but to me, most of those—I can't see a Christian, true Christian under the leading of the Holy Spirit. I can't see them committing abortion. But
let me tell you,
it talks about the baby would be unclean. If neither of the parents were believers, then the baby would not be holy, and without holiness, no one should see God.
Yeah, but you're putting a bunch of different things together. But so, do you have a question about that particular verse, though?
Yeah. I was thinking about how I don't know. I just kind of figured that Christian wouldn't have a baby.
Well, see if you can formulate. We got a break coming up. See if you can formulate the question, and then we'll get back to you after the break, okay? All right. Hey, folks, we got three open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. We have three open lines. Give me a call, 877-207-2276. Scott, are you still there?
Yes. I was wondering about the babies that are aborted. Are not most of them unclean like before Christ came?
Well, this is a...
The Israelites
this is a tough
fighting
question.
And put to death.
It's a tough question. The Bible doesn't talk about what happens to babies who die in the womb, whether they go to heaven or hell or anything like that. It just doesn't mention. Now, I have an opinion on it. My opinion is that they all go to heaven, and I cannot back that up from Scripture. It's just a desire that I hope is realized, and I lean that way. But I don't know what the fact is. So we don't know, okay? We just don't know what to say about that. Okay?
Well, I'll let you go, Matt.
All right, man. Well, God bless, Scott. Okay.
Great stuff.
All right. Let's get to Andrew from San Jose, California. Andrew, welcome to the show. You're on the air.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
It's going, man. It's going.
So, my question for you is, I was actually just a part of a church. They're called the ICC, International Christian Church.
Yeah, it's a cult.
And I just... I figured after a while. But I was there for a year, and I watched your video with Tim Kernan. about baptism and all that stuff. And I just wanted to know your opinions on what you think about them.
Any group that requires a work or a ceremony for salvation is preaching a false gospel. And the International Church of Christ teaches baptism is necessary and essential in order to be saved, and that you must be a true disciple in their church. Otherwise, it's not a true baptism that can only be performed by members of their church. Otherwise, it's not true. So you have to be a disciple in order to be a true Christian. And you know,
yeah, definitely.
That,
Got all that. No, yeah, definitely. I got all that. I was I did all the Bible studies with everybody. I've baptized quote unquote like two people in the church, and I was pretty about it, to be honest.
But well, what made you leave it?
So I basically was going through the Bible, and I was just like started to get unconvinced that everything what I was doing was actually like okay with God. And plus, like, I just felt like emotionally just like distraught, like all the time.
Did you have a sin list that you had to like, give to them?
Yeah, definitely. And to be honest, I totally understood it. I was like, okay, yeah, I should probably come. I used to be an atheist before all of this, so this is kind of why it makes more sense to me. It was like, okay, yeah, I have all these sins. I gotta totally confess my sins. This makes sense. My sins are forgiven once I get baptized. Awesome. This makes sense. But after a while, like that first initial moment when you're in the church and you get baptized, it's like, wow, like I could, like I actually am saved. Like I understand this now. Like I have a true, genuine faith in Jesus. But once you're there for a while, you kind of see some different colors, and you just everything just starts to feel off after a minute.
Let me ask you. So, do you know that baptism is not necessary for salvation? We should get baptized, but it's not what saves us.
Yeah, I was actually reading that this morning in Galatians 3:24.
Very good.
You know, by faith, our faith in Christ justifies us. And then they would usually turn to James 2. You know, faith without works is dead, and then that's where honestly your video helped out a lot.
That's justification, you know, before people, not before God. Right.
Yeah. And then even in the context that he was talking about, like even the demons believe like an intellectual faith in God, but it wasn't like a true personal connection with God. Yeah. But yeah, and I just after all that, I had a couple other people who recently left as well. We were just feeling like controlled.
I'll tell you what. These other people who've left, a lot of times when people leave a cult, they don't know what to do. They don't even know what direction is north anymore. I don't know if you're in contact with them or not, but I'd be willing to talk to them, have a group discussion, and I can run them through scriptures, answer questions and things like that, and help them get grounded in the truth.
Yeah, that would be pretty dang helpful.
Yeah, I want to write a book on this. What are the basics of the faith that we should believe? You know, it's something that was aimed at someone who leaves a cult like the ICC or Mormonism or Jehovah's Witnesses, or leaves the apostate church of Roman Catholicism. What are those things you need to believe? Because I was thinking about writing a book called The 10 Doctrines Every Christian Should Believe, and then going through and writing an expose on this, and then gear it towards the issue of leaving cult, because your brain, your heart, your mind are wired by them to believe certain ways. And then how do you know what's true? Because they're going to teach that you can lose your salvation. Can you? What do you do with 1 Peter 3:21? Baptism now saves you, and that's all they quote. What do you do with Acts 2:38? How are these things answered from a biblical perspective? You know? And so they have good arguments, but unless you're knowledgeable, and not to knock you because you're not, but most Christians just aren't. But if you're not knowledgeable in these things, you'll get taken in, and you don't know. So, it's bad news, man. It's a cult.
Yeah, no, I totally see that after just the whole experience. But, yeah, throughout all of it, I'd say I learned a lot for sure. They're not bad people. I just think it definitely twist your mind. It makes you like it makes you honestly feel like a zombie at a certain point.
Right, it's because it's mind control is what it is. Did they do love bombing on you, which is when you first get into the group? They did that, okay. So they did love bombing. Yeah. Then you get you have to do your sin list, and you have to be a true disciple, and they're the ones who basically are in control of your salvation.
Yeah, and when you start to connect the dots, it's like, wait a second, I'm putting my salvation into man and not into God, and then it's just like,
yep,
this isn't making sense.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I would love to debate their best representative on the issue of baptism and salvation. I'd love to, but they won't.
I would love to see that, because honestly, I've talked to a lot of the evangelists, and they have very solid points. It's just, I don't
until,
know, it's more of
until
like,
they're answered. Until they're answered. Yeah, I've been debating the baptismal regeneration and baptismal salvation for years, and, you know, that Tim Kernan debate I had, you know, sorry I wasn't dressed up, I didn't know it was going to be on camera, but still, well, I didn't know. It was an impromptu thing from Living Waters. But at any rate, so, you know, he didn't know what to do. He didn't know how to answer. Because when someone has answers, they don't know what to do. They're stuck. And so this is the case with him.
Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. And it's not the only time that's happened, too. Not just me, but others. When they know what the issues of baptism are, I would love to debate them on. Love to. Yeah.
No, but all in all, thank you for taking the call.
Sure.
Yeah, honestly, I've been kind of, for the past 2 days, like feeling that kind of sense of misdirection and just not knowing where to go in life. And just like what to do with my faith and what I should move to next, you know?
Well, can I give you a recommendation?
Yes.
Okay. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. What I'd recommend you do, first and foremost, is just take your Bible and after you pray to Jesus and ask Jesus to open your mind to the truth of his word. And he does this, Luke 24:45. Ask him to reveal himself in the word. And you study his word. And then there'll be areas you need help in, because the Bible is a deep book. And dare I say that my website, carm.org, has a lot of biblically based information. And you can go check things there. But don't just go with a guy named Slick. You need to go with other sites as well. But you need to study that word and get grounded. I'd recommend you go to the Carm doctrine section and start reading the articles on Christian theology. And that'll ground you. It will ground you in what the biblical truth is. And if you have questions, you call up, man. You call up. We can talk about them. And if you want, you get some of your friends, we'll do a little live video thing. And they can fire questions at me, I'll just talk to them, teach them. Okay?
All right. Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, honestly. It means truly a lot.
And you need to get a good church, too. Hold on after the break. I want to talk to you just a little bit more about a good church to go to, okay? What city and state are you in? What city and state?
San Jose, California.
Oh, okay. Okay. I may have something for you then. Okay, hold on. Hey, folks, we'll be right back after these messages.
Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, Andrew, you still there?
I'm still here.
All right. So I have some friends who live in the San Jose, or did, and I just texted them asking for the name of a good church there, and they haven't responded yet. So I was hoping they would, because they often had their phones with them and they could just tell me. But there are good churches in that area. So I'll tell you what you can do. If you want, email me at info@carm.org. It's at the bottom of the Carm website, any page. Just email me. And when I get information, I'll let you know. And you can go. They know some good churches there. Okay?
Okay. That sounds cool.
All right. And like I said, if you are in contact with some of those people who came out and are messed up, I'd be glad to do a video thing, chat thing. It's easy to do. I can set it up, give you guys a code, you get in, and we can just have a nice conversation. And we can just fire questions and we can talk.
Okay, all right. That sounds good. I'll definitely let my friends know.
All right.
I'm pretty sure they're feeling the same thing.
Well, tell them. I mean, that's what I do. I've been doing this for 40 years. And, you know, I'd love to sit and help people and say, no, this is what the Bible teaches. And they can have questions. They can say, I agree with that. Okay, that's fine. Let's just go on and we'll examine it further and things like that. Okay?
All right,
Andrew.
Well, yeah, thanks for everything.
All right, man. Well, God bless, buddy.
Thank God.
All right.
God bless you.
You too. All right. That was Andrew from San Jose. But remember to pray for him, folks, because he's going to need that coming out of a cult like that. Let's get to Liz from Raleigh, North Carolina. Liz, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. Big fan of yours and totally agree with what you have to say about Roman Catholicism.
Good. Smart. You're a smart woman.
And I've called you before, but
okay.
I know that you say that if a person believes in official Roman Catholic teaching
on salvation,
that
right.
About salvation, that they are not saved.
Right, they can't be.
So, that they can't be saved. Okay. So I guess I just want to get more into the nitty-gritty of that, because there's a lot, I think there's, you know, several official Roman Catholic teachings. So I'm just wondering if you can, like, isolate one, like if a person believes in purgatory, does that mean they are not saved?
It depends. Or, it comes down to this, and how we have to understand that justification is by faith alone in Christ alone. If someone were to believe that they have to not go see R-rated movies in order to be saved, then that would be a false gospel. If they teach they have to be immersed in water in order to be forgiven of their sins, that would be a false gospel. If, as Roman Catholicism teaches in paragraph 2068 of the Catechism, that a person obtains salvation by faith, baptism, and the observance of the commandments, then it's teaching a false gospel. So the Roman Catholic Church definitely teaches a false gospel. It contradicts Scripture. And then it has sophisticated, convoluted ways to make it look like it's really doing what's biblical. So if someone believes in purgatory, well, what do they believe about purgatory? If they say that purgatory is a place where they're cleansed of their sins so they can go be with God, then they're not truly saved as a false convert. If they say, no, it's not a place where I'm truly cleansed, I just got to go through this pain time, I'm already saved, guaranteed to be saved by my faith in Christ, and I go to heaven, well, then I wouldn't say that they're not saved. I'd say they're just messed up. So you see?
Mm-hmm. What if they believe that if they commit a mortal sin, they've fallen from grace and they've lost all their grace?
Well, that's just stupid.
Would that be a saved person or not?
It's just the idea of Roman Catholicism's view of grace, which I just think is so abhorrently evil. For people who don't know, Roman Catholicism teaches that grace is like a substance that's infused into your soul by doing certain things, by participating in the sacraments. And if you participate in the sacraments, grace is put into you. And the more grace you have put into you, like a substance, then the more righteous you are. And that is demonic doctrine from the pit of hell. Because it's bondage, it's a false gospel. Oh, it's so bad. So if someone says that they have lost all their grace because they committed a sin, then they don't understand the true gospel of Christ in the first place. They don't understand. Grace is not a substance that's lost by our sin. Grace is the free act of God where He blesses people who do not deserve it in any way, shape, or form. Grace rests in the heart and the mind of God, and it manifests as an action of God upon us. It's not a substance that is infused into us, as the Roman Catholic Church in its blasphemous doctrines teach. It's not infused into us. The Catholic Church has control over the means of that infusion and therefore controls your salvation. So, you know, you can
tell.
So
if a person is believing that they can lose their grace by committing a mortal sin, would you say that person is not saved?
Probably not saved. Probably, because you can be saved and have a large amount of bad ideas. But generally, those things will fall by the wayside the further a person moves in the work and the Word of God. But when someone were say, if I was talking to somebody and they said, well, I committed a mortal sin and all my grace is gone, well, then I automatically assume that they don't know what the true gospel is. And I start teaching them the gospel message. And I've done this with Catholics before, and it's completely foreign to them. The Roman Catholic Church is so thoroughly brainwashed its followers into this false gospel from hell that they don't recognize the true gospel, and they reject the true gospel. In fact, one of the things, this is the way of illustrastrating this, and you guys can tell, I know all the listeners can tell, how utterly appalled I am by Catholicism, because it leads millions to damnation, and it does. When I talk to Roman Catholics, and I'm known in Catholic circles because of my very strong stance against Catholicism, when I talk to Catholics and I'll ask them questions, I'll say, can you pray to Jesus? And they'll say, yes. Can you ask Jesus to forgive you of your sins? They'll say, yes. Okay. If you were to pray and ask Jesus to forgive you of all of your sins, would all of your sins be forgiven? At that point, the Catholics don't want to have much more of a conversation. And the reason they don't is because they're so ingrained in the idea that salvation is through the work of the sacraments of the Catholic Church, that they have to go to the church for salvation. You can't go straight to Christ. So the Catholic Church has put up a roadblock. And so the roadblock exists practically as well as intellectually and emotionally. So it's very difficult to get through to the Catholic with the true gospel because they've been so brainwashed by the lies of the Catholic Church. So I've asked Catholics this before. Can you pray and ask them? And they won't do it. Not a single one I've asked over years and years has ever prayed just to Jesus, alone to Christ, for the forgiveness of their sins. So from all of this experience, all my studying, I would say that such a person as you've proposed, who says they've lost all their grace because they committed a mortal sin, that person is most probably not saved to begin with and is a subject of evangelism at this point.
Okay. And what about a person that believes that water baptism causes you to be born again?
That's wrong.
Would you say that person's not saved?
Yeah, I would say that it's a false gospel. Water baptism does not cause us to be born again. We're caused to be born again by God. That's 1 Peter 1:3. Now, the Bible says we must be born again. But what does that mean? And some people say out of Rome, John 3:3-8, it talks about you have to be born of the water and the Spirit. My opinion of what the water is the water of the womb. That's not the popular position, but it is my position because of the context. Where Nicodemus, the verse before, says, how can you enter into the your mother's womb a second time and be born? Jesus says you must be born again. And then Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh and the spirit is spirit. Because Jesus said flesh and is flesh, and Nicodemus was talking about being born of the flesh, I'm seeing that as what he's talking about there is you have to be born of the water and the spirit. You have to be born physically and spiritually. That's how I see it. That's not the most popular view, but that's my position. And so I argue from that perspective to Catholics and to anybody else who would say that baptism is necessary for salvation, because then what do you do with someone who literally cannot get baptized? And I've seen that. And you know, you have sprinkling, pouring, immersion. It gets more complicated, but I've known of people. I used to work at a hospital and seen people on their deathbeds and minutes to live, and they will receive Christ. And they don't get baptized. They go to hell. That means that faith in Christ is not enough to save them. It gets worse and worse as baptism is required for salvation. Idiocy. It's just so insidious. It just causes problems and messes with people. Oh, we should get baptized, but it's not the thing that forgives us of our sins. And for those who want to know, 1 Peter 3:21, baptism now saves you. They go, man, what about that? It says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you, not the removal of dirt from the flesh, but an appeal for a clean conscience before God. So the baptism is not the issue of the water, but the baptism of the heart, the true baptism, one faith, one Lord, one baptism, Ephesians 4:5, which Peter says, corresponding to that, which corresponding to what? The previous verse talks about the water that killed people, and that the ark is what saved Noah. Well, then it says, corresponding to that, baptism now saves you. Corresponding to what? The water? No, it was the ark. So people don't read the context of verses, and yeah, I can go into Acts 2:38 and 22:16 and all kinds of stuff, but I won't right now. You know, I've got other callers, and we've got 2 minutes. But
okay,
yeah. All right.
Okay, so basically, if they're believing some false gospels or false teaching, like water baptism, or then they're not saved.
Probably.
Yeah. Okay.
All
right. Well, thank you so much, Matt. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. God bless. All right. Oops, sorry about that. Let's get to Dave from Winston-Salem because we don't have much time. Dave, we got less than a minute. What's up, buddy?
Hey, Matt. Just wanted to quickly ask you about your opinion of Stephen Furtick and Elevation Church.
Stay away. He's promoting modalism.
Right.
He's promoting modalism. And T.D. Jakes.
And what does that mean?
Modalism is the teaching that it denies the doctrine of the Trinity and says that God takes different forms. Okay, it's a heresy.
Okay.
And it can lead to denying the sufficiency of the atoning work. So, Stephen, I've heard him say it, so on video I've watched. Okay?
I'm a Baptist, just have some good friends who are members there, and, visited there on a couple occasions, and just don't have an easy spirit when I was there, and I get a feeling of high sensationalism. You know what I'm saying? Trying to say.
Yeah, I don't know too much. I'd like to interview him, but I know he wouldn't submit to that. But anyway, we got to go, buddy. We're out of time. Okay. All right.
Thanks,
okay. Hey, folks. Sorry about that. Canadian Catholic and Rondi from New York. And by the way, I got the answer in San Jose. Westgate Church and Ventura Church are good churches there. May the Lord bless you all, and by His grace, be back on here tomorrow. We'll talk to you then. We'll see you. God bless. Bye.